During the Switch, Pivot, or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with Sarah Gibson Tuttle, the mani-pedi obsessed founder of Olive & June, a new type of beauty company with its signature one-of-a-kind neighborhood nail salons, boasting three locations in the Los Angeles area, including Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, and Pasadena. Before opening the Beverly Hills flagship nail salon in August of 2013, Sarah worked for 10 years as an equity sales trader at J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley in New York City, covering hedge funds and mutual funds. Since making her transition, Sarah has established a brand with a cult-like following among celebrities, stylists, and editors, in addition to having top magazines like Vogue, Elle, and Allure feature her brand Olive & June. She is currently expanding into product sales with the release of the Saturday sandal, and I can tell from this chat that there is even more amazingness to come in the future from the Olive & June brand. Get ready to get into Olive & June founder Sarah and just be enamored with how awesome she is. So welcome to the show, Sarah. So excited to speak to you today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. So as you know, let's just go ahead and jump in. And as you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience. Now, you've had your own SPQ experience, and I'd love for you to start by sharing a bit of your story with our listeners.
Absolutely. So I love, by the way, the title of this podcast, Switch, Pivot, or Quit is so good. So kudos to you. Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
So my experience was that I really wanted to move to LA. You know, I really wanted to move for the weather, which sounds like a really vapid answer, but I really did want to move here for, you know, a new lifestyle. And I was really searching for what my second career would be. I worked in finance for, I guess I should give you my background a little bit. I worked in finance for 10 years at J.P. Morgan and Morgan Stanley as an equity, so an institutional equity sales trader. And basically what that means is that I was client service for institutional funds, hedge funds, mutual funds, et cetera. And I essentially was their caretaker for their orders. So when they wanted to buy and sell stock, they went through me, and essentially I made sure that those transactions went well. It sounds much more transactional, and it actually was really pretty heavy client service. And it was really fast paced working at a trading desk. So if you've seen any of those types of movies, that was what I did. And I was like, I want to do something different. You know, I think I hadn't quit yet. So I hadn't, part of my Q, part of my experience hadn't happened yet, but I was essentially looking for what this next career was going to look like. And I really thought it'd be an entertainment because I loved LA so much. But when I was here interviewing, because LA is all about entertainment, I was interviewing and I was really inspired by the category in LA that I call affordable luxury, which was, you know, if you think Dry Bar, Soul Cycle, Sugarfish, Earth Cafe, like depending on if you, you know, Earth Cafe is very localized in LA, but Sugarfish isn't, Soul Cycle and Dry Bar clearly aren't, but they were all just kind of getting off the ground, whether here or in New York, but for the most part, they were here. And I was like, oh, this is a real category of service offering. And in New York at that time, it was really high-low. And so the light bulb moment kind of went off and I said, because I loved getting my nails done and I couldn't find the right salon that I loved getting my nails done in LA. And that's like a big part of my beauty routine. And I thought to myself, I better find myself a nail salon here if I'm going to move here. And then I had that light bulb moment of like, oh, nails. Like I was so disappointed by what I was finding. And I was like, I could do this. I could do the nails equivalent in this category that I love so much.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. So was there anything or has there been anything that has been transferable, from your equity sales trader type of position in freight? First of all, let's clarify. Was that like Wall Street? Was that technically
Wall Street? Yes, it is Wall Street. Okay. I say finance because I feel like Wall Street feels, I don't know. It also has such a negative connotation, which is such a bummer because I have to tell you, I grew up on that trading desk and all the people that I worked with and that I worked for and the clients were so good to me. Mm-hmm. So it for me, it was such a positive experience. But yes, it is technically, I worked on Wall Street for 10 years.
Sweet. Because you hear about so many men working on Wall Street, and I'm sure behind the scenes, you know that there is a lot of women, but you know, we just don't come across and talk to women every day that worked on Wall Street. So that's pretty sweet.
That is sadly true.
Yeah. Was there anything that you learned from that world of sort of finance and Wall Street that you've been able to use and transfer into the work that you're doing now with Olive and June?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I really grew up on that trading desk and I learned so much about myself, but also how to interact, how to navigate, how to really be a professional, truly. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing for me was client service. I mean, how to speak to clients in a way that really validates what they're saying and doing and feeling, navigating those conversations in a productive way because they can get pretty gnarly and they can be tough at times. Really making clients happy. All of those things really, all of that experience really for me was client service and client happiness. And I think now I'm able to navigate tough conversations in the salon in a really easy way because that's what I did for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So for those that think working for yourself is all peachy and fun and freedom and all the glamorous parts of the business, especially being in a city like LA, is there anything a bit of reality that maybe you can share with us that would clarify that perception? Maybe what a typical day looks like for you or something?
Yeah. I would say, you know, the reality is in owning your own business is that you work more hours than you do when you don't own your own business. So mm-hmm. I worked on Wall Street for 10 years and I actually worked in a pretty structured business because it was all about the markets being open. So if the markets are closed, technically in the United States, then you should be off. The reality is that that's not the case, that markets are open. There's always a market open somewhere and in some part of the country. And like when you cover clients, you cover them globally. So, but I would say that I probably worked, you know, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. or longer, depending on if I was entertaining or going to dinners, et cetera, events every day, you know, Monday through Friday. And I now work way more hours than that now. So I think it's really, everyone thinks it's going to be really a ton of freedom. And yes, there is freedom. I can go see my daughter at her ballet class on a Thursday afternoon. And that's a wonderful feeling for me because I could never have done that working on a trading desk. But at the same time, I'm working till 2 a.m. that night if the work doesn't get done. So there's no, it's a shift of schedule, but you end up working more. And you know, I don't have a typical day because I have 3 salons and also an office and a corporate team, and we're building not only more salons but products. So there's so much that's going on in any given day. But I would say that like the consistency is that I work more. Now I love what I do and I get really excited about it. But there's times where I wish that I had that job again where it's like you can shut off on Friday and if there's no big deal in Asia or Europe that you're kind of down for the count for a weekend.
Right.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
Right. It's like as much as, you know, the position that you're in is great, I love that you say that sometimes you look back on those days because so many people are, you know, looking at the type of lifestyle that you've created for yourself and the type of business. And they're like, oh gosh, I would just kill to have that, you know, but hey, we always can look at what we don't have and find some of the good things in that. So I love that you share that.
No, 100%. And, you know, I used to get frustrated too when like a boss of mine or somebody would either put something out like a rule or, you know, a structure that I didn't like, or mm-hmm. that they would feel like I didn't know what I was talking about, by the way, often. And they would say stuff to me. And I have to tell you, it's equally, if not harder, to be on the other side and be setting those structures and setting that tone. Mm. I mean, I find it extremely, I'd never managed anyone before. And now I manage 100 people. I mean, it's a massive shift. And so, and you have to really learn how to be a manager when you own your own business because you everything you do is is like magnified. And so, you know, blows up 10 times. So you really have to know, you have to like learn how to be that person. For me, that was like a big challenge.
Right. Did you find yourself saying, okay, I need to step it up in this area. So maybe I need to take some classes. Maybe I need to do something that will make me better as a manager. Did you find yourself seeking out tools that could potentially help you?
I didn't look for classes or tools because simply I didn't have the time. Like it was a race against time for me about becoming the person that I need to become. To be fair, every day I become that person more and more. Mm. But I had to start listening and I had to start really watching like the things that I was saying in my tone. And I still do. I mean, the shift from going from working in finance with a mostly male, group of people in a very type A dominant personality business to a business to a beauty business is a massive shift. And there's great things about both and there's tough things about both, but there's also just like, it's just a shift. And so you have to, you don't have to, but I guess if in order to be successful, my advice to anyone who's doing anything like that, which is basically like changing careers, but also just completely changing industries, is what is this new industry like and appreciate and how do they want to be interacted with? And you really have to work on yourself. And my team, especially the manicurists, because that's who was the majority of the team in the beginning, and still is the majority of our team actually, but there was a couple of manicurists that I think have made me a better person. And have really sat down with me and said, here are the things of which we're rolling out or the way in which you're speaking or, you know, anything like that. And like really had heart to hearts with me about the way the leadership in a beauty industry or business should be. You know, I didn't come from a place that celebrated a lot of wins or that focused on the good things. Like in finance, like it's just on to the next within 50 seconds. Like there's no stop to be like, that was a sick trade. Good job.
You had your job.
Yeah. That's how you keep your job. So now like we launched our sandals this summer and we had this really awesome lunch for it. And someone on my team suggested it. And I was so thankful that they brought it to my attention that we should be celebrating this. Like this is a huge, we put a product out in the world and that's a huge thing. And the people who worked on it worked really, really hard. And like, to do that is a massive accomplishment. I just had never experienced that. So it didn't even occur to me, but now I think then we later in the summer, it was my idea to be like, I mean, I listened to them, you know, and I tried to like, I mean, really pivot by the way, but I listened to them and tried to be like, how could I be a better leader in this way? And I rented out a movie theater and we all went to see Wonder Woman one night. So, you know, I was like super inspired, walked out of the theater and was like, I have to have everyone in the company come see this because everyone's just a badass woman and I want them all to feel this way.
Yeah.
So, But you have to be open and willing to do that. And if you're not, being an entrepreneur will be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of being open, after you made, we had a conversation before and you were sharing that you made this trip out to LA and you just loved it. And you've mentioned already that you loved LA and you wanted sort of that lifestyle change. What was that sort of, it could be personal or professional, that big pull that made you say, okay, I am actually going to do this. I'm going to leave New York and I'm going to embark on creating a life for myself in LA.
Yeah. I mean, I said before the weather is the big factor, but I mean, I would say weather and lifestyle really sealed the deal for me. Mm-hmm. The concept of Olive in June got me packing, but I really wanted a different life than I had in New York. I wanted all my friends to come with me, but I wanted a different lifestyle.
Okay. And so it's just like, hey, you know what you want and it's just time to make a change and pick up and go with it. And speaking of that, change and fear of the unknown, it really hinders a lot of people and stops them from going after what they truly want. Can you share a time with us when you had to encounter a big change in life and how you dealt with facing that change and just going straight ahead with it?
That's a great question. I think the kind of entirety of Olive in June, when we first opened, there were so many hurdles those first days that made me seriously question what I was doing.
Really?
I just had no training. I had gut intuition. And I said, you know, I had like a field of dreams. I was like, if we build this, they're going to come. I mean, I hope everyone on this podcast has watched that movie. It's so old, but, They probably haven't, but if you haven't, it's with Kevin Costner and it's quite good. So what I did, I mean, I remember I was standing outside her salon 3 days in and manicures were leaving and they were quitting and they were like, I'm out of here. And it was so disorganized and I had no idea what I was doing. And I said to my now husband, or, you know, he was not my husband at the time, but I said to my husband, I was like, I want my money back. And he was like, you're on the roller coaster. Like, you're strapped in. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like, he's like, you're on the top and it's going to be really, really hard for a little while. But I really leaned in, you know, I took one step forward at a time. I made a list, like, I, you know, of all the things I needed to do. Mm-hmm. I remember my mother-in-law, like, literally sat down one night and she was like, just make a list. And every day, just like cross off two or three things off your list, you know, mm-hmm. keep moving towards that goal every day. Do not stop. And that felt really, really good. So for me, I deal with change. I do a lot of lists and I do a lot of like, okay, action steps to kind of get there.
Right.
But it's hard. I mean, there's multiple moments the first 6 months where you're like, what am I doing? And, mm-hmm. and you know, even now, like, I mean, I never would say like, I want to be without Olive in June, but of course there's moments where you have like wanderlust than you wish. But it's for me, you know, every year or every month that gets that voice gets really, really, really small.
Right. Right. As time can just continues to go on. And I'm sure as you grow in the business yourself, I mean, like you said, it's like going from a toddler or infant to, you know, yeah. a teenager in a business. It's like you have to go through all of those growth stages and sort of figure it out. And there's,
yeah. And you give it, if you give it up or you decide it's not for you, then it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like an entrepreneur breaks through a brick wall. Like, that's just what they do. That's in their spirit. That's who they are. And if you're that kind of person, then you'll figure it out. I mean, there's a manicurist at Olive and June, and her name is Tay, and she's so funny. And she makes fun of me because in the beginning, she was there. She started, I think, on day three, and she's still with us. And she said, in the beginning, all you used to say was, we'll figure it out. I'll figure that out. And that was my answer to everything. And I had no idea what I was doing, but like, that's what an entrepreneur does. They just figure it out because there's no going back.
Yeah.
So
resourceful. You don't have a choice but to figure it out.
True. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So since we all go through these times and a lot of our listeners, you know, they have their ups and downs with where am I, what am I doing in life? Where am I going next? When you have some of your most trying and difficult days, just battling to sort of keep your head up and move forward with balancing it all, what are some of the things that you find yourself doing to keep yourself going? Maybe like some self-care things. I don't know, whatever it is, maybe that you find yourself doing to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a two-part question, so I'll answer it. To start, there are so many days, weeks, months that feel so hard. And I'll feel like I won't come up for air. I now have a daughter. I mean, my time is so compressed. And so I'll go back to the list. Like, I make a list and I power through it. I really try to I have a couple of like devices on email. Like, I use Boomerang. There's a number of things that I do that I try to go to inbox zero every night. And I use Boomerang with the things that I don't need to respond right away. I Boomerang in a couple of days. And, and so I really try to like keep my life as organized as possible. I did go paperless, which I find to be a massive shift for me because there's just so much less stuff in my life.
Yeah.
And that has been really great. On the self-care. So I really just try to grind through it, but have an organized way to grind through it. And by the way, if anyone was to ever DM me on Instagram, I could give them the exact, you know, apps and tools and stuff I use. But I find that like you really have to find your organizational system. I know Joy, she's an amazing blog and she has products called Oh Joy. Mm-hmm. She has a color-coded calendar, which I've seen, and I don't even understand what that means. But like, it's kind of the exact same thing that I have, which is like I do it on email, she does it on a calendar, but it's like very systemized and everything is like so clear.
Mm-hmm.
And my inbox is always like very, very well curated. And then at the end of the day, it's zero, no matter if I have Boomerang things, which is like basically just a system that takes your emails and puts them forward mm-hmm. when you want to respond back. But and it also, frankly, you can have things sent back to you if no one replies. And so my team knows that I like to, you know, as they say, stalk them, but it's because I have it. It's not because I remember. It's because I have these emails coming back in mm-hmm. that I can then say, oh yeah, I have to, and I'll be like, so what's the update? And it's been extremely productive for me. On the self-care front, which is one of my favorite topics, I work out a lot. I mean, I work out 3 to 5 times a week, which with a child and a business like is with 100 people, 3 to 5 times a week feels like a lot. Mm-hmm. I do facials once a month with my favorite person on the planet. Like my facials is amazing. I would say my facial is the only appointment the entire month that I will never cancel. For me, like that is my hour to sit there and like, it makes me feel so good. And she like, it just, for me, that's my 1 hour a month that I'll never cancel. My workouts, I schedule them 7 times a week and I probably get to them 3 to 5 times a week at max. I don't have a trainer or anything. I just like in my calendar, I schedule them and then I end up deleting the little box and feeling really negative. But I actually like when I get there. And for me, those are my two self-care, you know, things that I do. By the way, I also obviously get a manicure. Hello, my nails are always done. But that's, to me, it's more of a chore. To me, the nails, I mean, I work there, so I'm not, that's not fun for me. I mean, I love the team, but you know, I'm usually talking to a manicurist and we're talking about something that we can fix or change or like ideas or products. And so that's all work.
Right. You're multitasking.
I also eat as many French fries as possible. In any capacity, at any place. And I feel like that's part of my self-care routine too. So I want to include it.
Yeah. You have to do those little things that make you happy that you can find joy in, for sure.
If there are French fries on the menu and they're not skinny fries, they are for me. Anything that's like regular fries or steak fries.
Right. So what key traits do you think are like core for achieving success in your area of business or making some headway?
I think, like I said before, listening. I think being kind. I think working harder than you've ever worked before. Mm. I think, having a real sense of self and brand purity. I could think of 100 more, but I think like if you got those, like you're, you know,
to start.
Yeah.
You need that. Yeah. And I'm sure you'll pick up other things along the way, but
yeah, the hustle and the warmth is for us for at Olive and June. Is our most important traits. And also like we make women feel like their best self. Mm-hmm. So if that's in your heart and you have the hustle and the warmth, you're like our perfect person.
That makes sense. So if you had a girlfriend that called you like, girl, I'm so over this job. I'm just not feeling it. Like I'm not feeling the work. I need a change. What advice would you give to her to sort of encourage her to go after what she really wants?
It's so funny because my husband and I talk about this a lot because I am a glass overflowing person. Like I would be like encouraging her, embark on this new path. Mm-hmm. But he's given me a dose of reality because if I don't think the person's really ready to be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. I'll suggest to them that they find another path within an established business. Like I try to do a dose of reality with it because being an entrepreneur is a very specific skill set and a very specific type of person and mindset. Mm-hmm. But I will always be positive because I feel like everyone needs a pep talk and everyone needs someone to tell them that they're amazing because right. I mean, I can also find something about everyone that I love. So it's very easy for me, but like, I would always be super encouraging. Mm-hmm. I would also say to people, don't leave to avoid something, leave for something.
So I like that.
Yeah. Like if you're leaving for something, there's a real purpose. There's a job, there's a mission, there's an idea, there's a concept. Like you're leaving for something. Like don't leave to avoid someone or something because that boss is going to get fired or that boss is going to leave or that person's like things change. So you do not want to leave to avoid something. I mean, that's the same in life. Mm-hmm. I can give a million examples, but the point is like leave for something, be proactive, not reactive.
Right. Right. Speaking of that, being proactive and all those good things, did you find yourself making any missteps in the early days of Olive and June that you later realized, okay, that wasn't the best thing, but it was a good learning lesson for me?
I mean, everything. I'm like, how many missteps? I mean, the branding team that I use now that I love was the third branding team that we used. Wow. I mean, I think the architects and design team was, I think, second or third. Like we went through a number of people, on the vendor side where I was like, this person gets me, they get me. And I was focusing on the wrong things. we made a misstep on the chairs, where we brought in chairs that we believe were beautiful and that we thought were comfortable. And then we didn't think to ourselves, oh, somebody might be taller or shorter. Or like, and so then we instituted a pillow system where basically you can have like 2 to 3 pillows or 0 pillows, but everyone kind of has a different pillow setup that they want. Mm-hmm. And we love the chairs, so we make it work. But I mean, I think that it was a great learning lesson, because it learned the pillows especially was like, listen to your client. Mm-hmm. What do they want? And, mm-hmm. and what do they want? And how can you make them happy while still staying on brand and having that brand purity? And then for the vendors, it was like, are you listening to just what you want to listen to? Or are you asking the hard questions and saying, what about this? What about this? What about this? And like, if they're not lining up with you, but you want to be their friend, but don't hire them.
Oh, I like that. Because so many people, you have a good connection and meeting with a vendor and you're like, oh, but I like them. And that right. can skew how you operate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I want to hang out with them on the weekend. Go hang out with them on the weekend.
Right.
Don't hire them.
To do business with them, yeah.
Yeah, and it's never as big a deal as it seems in the moment. So the other thing I would say is like, I've had some conversations that I feel like have been missteps, and it's always best to talk it out versus have it out. So that's the other thing I would say is like, that pops up. Is it? But I, you know, my personality has, I think, really changed in the 4 years since I've been at Olive & June. Like, I've always loved people, and I think been kind. and like, but I was a tougher person coming in, and much more Wall Street. And now I really try hard to be, I was always someone's best friend, right? Like, I could always pep talk them out of anything. I was always the person people called when they were upset, because I would basically like game plan them into happiness. And mm-hmm. I'm that person. But I think now my softer side has like really come out, but it's because of all these missteps and these conversations and these things that have happened to me, where I'm like, oh, I need to kind of pull a different part of my personality and make that the dominant part. So there are so many missteps. I could talk about that forever.
I really, really like that last piece, because I found myself being in a similar way, in that just coming from that corporate world and working at the NBA, everything was like perfection. You just had to be this perfectionist. And it was like, it was almost like business school, because you learned all the things to do and not to do, you know, and there was just like this microscope on you. So when I started venturing out on my own, I had these like rules and these strict boundaries on myself that just really didn't even need to be there. And right. I finally had to start learning how to navigate sort of outside of that space, because there was no one hovering over me telling me how to do things and how not to do things. Like, I could open up my personality. So I like that you share that, because, you know, that's a key thing that I think people don't think about or realize when they're sort of making that transition. It's like, it's more than just a job. It's like, it's everything. It's all encompassing, for sure. So you've created such a comfortable and approachable place for women to let their hair down and care for themselves and get their self-care time in with Olive & June. Why is women supporting women important to you?
Well, I would say people supporting people first and foremost, always. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, you know, women supporting women is obviously an offshoot of that, but also like, we have to support one another. Mm-hmm. We have to encourage each other, both to relax and take self-care and take that moment for ourselves and indulge and like release. But we also have to just support each other, whether it be, you know, from the purchases you make or the choices or the people that you support. Like, for me, I just come from a very supportive background and family. And so it's just always been who I've been. Like, but I look around and like all the products that we use and like, a lot of the, you know, things that I purchase in this world, like I very much gravitate towards women-led businesses. And I just think it's who I am. I have to say I have wonderful parents, and my father has always been, I think he's just always so proud of me and so wonderful, but he's always said, you know, you can do anything. And also that it'd be wonderful if more women, and he meant like me, which is very sweet, but more women were more involved, you know, and that was something that really stuck with me and resonated with me growing up, because, you know, he's like a crazy lunatic and I love him. But one of the things that he really has always championed my whole life is that I am, you know, that I can do anything I want to do. And it's just such a baseline of like how I operate. And so to see it as I got older, where that wasn't really the case, I thought to myself, like, you know, I'm sure it was subconscious, but I have always thought to myself, like, step up for anyone that might be not have equal footing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So have you figured out your why in life? And if so, would you mind sharing it with us?
Yes. That's so great. My why is making women/people feel like their best self. I mean, what we do at Olive in June, making people feel like their best self. It's predominantly women, but, it's really everyone. Like, we make people feel so good about themselves, whether they feel polished or beautiful or happy or clean or taken care of or any of those emotions, like that best self feeling, like making people feel that way is my why.
I love it. So what does success mean or look like for you?
I think it's an offshoot of that. If people are feeling like their best self because of Olive in June, we've major success. If people feel good about that experience and they feel like if they feel like their best self, then I feel totally successful. But that's both clients and our teams. You know, it's everyone. If everyone kind of feels like the best version of themselves, then we've won.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, I think we can all feel your positive and uplifting energy. There's that conversation.
There's so much energy. I have so much energy to give.
Yeah, I can tell. Like, for those that don't know, we spoke prior to getting on this interview, and I was just like, I like her. I just like everything about your vibe. I like your approachable spirit. I like your just enthusiasm about things. And I'm just like, she seems like a really good person. So,
thank you. I was on the phone last night with someone who wants to open their own nail salon, and they were like, I can't believe you're speaking to me for an hour. And I was like, you know, that's just like how we all have to be. I mean, we have to be open and support one another and realize that there's room for everyone. And that's just, for me, that's just like so who I am. And so, I felt the same way after our call. I was so like impressed with everything that you've done and with your switch, you know, pivot and quit. And I just was like, I was excited about this interview because I really feel like we're so on the same page and that supporting other people and being open is the only way to be.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And before we go, can you let everyone know how they can find the stores, keep up with you, all that good stuff, websites, everything?
Fantastic. Yes, of course I can. The best way to follow us is on Instagram. It's just at Olive and June. If you want to follow me personally, you can follow me at Gibson Tuttle. And we also obviously have Facebook and Pinterest and a Tumblr. And if you want to come to the salons, we're in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills, Pasadena, and Santa Monica. It's just olivejune.com. And we also have an app. So you can connect with us in any way you want.
Mm-hmm. You make it so easy. Well, thank you so much for making the business of beauty easier and also making this conversation super easy. Totally appreciate you for spending time and hopping on the podcast with us today.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well.
If you've enjoyed this episode or found value in this episode or any previous episode for that matter, I have a challenge for you. It's about taking action, and we all know how I feel about action and taking action. We can't just be observers all the time. We have to be the action takers and the makers as well. So my challenge to you is to do one of two things. The first is to share this podcast with 3 friends within an hour. Quick, 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 move, 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 within an hour. If you know of 3 people that can benefit from hearing something you've heard on this podcast, then share. It's simple. And the other option is to pop over to iTunes and leave your girl a review. Just a quick line or two with your true feelings. So many of you email or message me and DM me, but we need the world to know about how you feel about this show if we want this conversation to continue and grow and incorporate some of your faves. So I appreciate you and thank you in advance for taking action. And until next time, keep killing it.